My sister, Edith, would have been here if she were not ill. And Yolanda asked if she could read the statement. And I'm sure she will be very pleased when I tell her that Yolanda read her statement, because her Aunt Edith, my only blood sister, is a mentor to her because she is in theater as well. And my sister calls her her daughter, since she doesn't have a daughter, she only has a son. She loves Yolanda very much. To the sons of Francis Thomas Smith, Stephen and David, and the daughter-in-law, Carol, the grandsons, Michael, Nicholas, and Matthew, Craig and Mitchell, to Francis Manchester family, her classmate and lifetime friend Beth Stone, President and Mrs. Parker and Ann Martin, to the faculty and students of Manchester, and of course, I represent the Lincoln School element of her life, which was in Marion, Alabama. And of course, Yolanda grew out of that part of it. My relationship has spanned some 58 years. And I guess I also represent the civil rights movement relationships in her life. And out of that relationship came the relationship of Andrew Young, who really came through Jean, but got to know her better during the time of the civil rights movement. As you know, Jean, Louise, and Cora Childs are graduates of this college from Marion, Alabama, and I knew all of them as a student. And out of that relationship also, Dr. Robert Green, that you just heard from. I met Frances Thomas in 1941 when she and her husband Cecil recently married. As a matter of fact, they were on their honeymoon and they had accepted a position. He had accepted a position on the faculty as social studies teacher and boys physical education instructor and basketball coach at Lincoln High School in Marion, Alabama. Lincoln High School was one of those schools that was started right after the Civil War by black slaves and the American Missionary Association came in and supported it in those early days. In those early days there were only white teachers and then later they were white and black. Fran served as secretary to the principal and the volunteer instrumental teacher for many of our students, including myself and Louise Childs DePore, who was the sister of Jean, wife of Andrew Young, and Cora Childs Moore. All of whom Fran was instrumental in their becoming graduates of this college. Fran taught me to play the cornet, the trumpet. She composed music that I practiced from, and because we didn't have those music materials there, so she created them. And also composed a wonderful piece that I played on our school's recital program, and I still remember that little ta 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 ta, so on. There were many wonderful teachers at Lincoln School, both black and white, when I attended in 1939. I didn't meet the Thomases until 41. As a matter of fact, half of the faculty was black and half was white, but Fran and Cecil were very special teachers because they did almost everything together. They were real partners and great role models in marriage, in their dedication to improving the quality of our education and giving us an exposure that would prepare us to live in the global village of the 21st century. At Lincoln School, we students were so impacted by the spirit of love and concern that Fran and Cecil demonstrated in their lives and relationships with the students, faculty, and the community. Of course, Fran became, for some of us, a surrogate mother, some of us, an older sister, not much older than many of us, a dear friend, a counselor. Although we had other Quakers on our faculty, the influences of Fran and Cecil were much more impactful. For instance, they were responsible for bringing Bayard Rustin to Lincoln School when I was a ninth grader. And he lectured about his experiences in India and the Gandhi independence movement. And I shall never forget his dramatic presentation on Gandhi's Salt March to the Sea. He held us spellbound. In terms of our personal goals, they motivated, encouraged, and inspired us to reach for the highest and the best. When it was time to go to college, it was the influences of Fran and Cecil Thomas that caused Louise, Cora, and Jean Charles to come to Manchester, my sister Edith and I to go to Antioch College in Ohio, and Ed Lee to go to Earlham College here in Indiana. They made sure that we had scholarships and other assistance to complete our college education. When I was on my way to Antioch as a freshman, at Fran's invitation, I stopped off by Columbus, Ohio, where she and Cecil were, to pick up a suitcase full of used clothing that she had collected from the Quaker clothing drive to take to college with me. Later on, I would be wearing one of those suits, a light blue wool, on my first date with Martin. While I was a student at the New England Conservatory of Music and he at Boston University, and when Martin and I found ourselves in Montgomery in December of 1955, when Rosa Parks had sat down on a Montgomery bus that ignited a 381-day boycott that ultimately resulted in the integration of city buses in Montgomery, Francis Thomas and Cecil brought a delegation from California to Montgomery. After surveying our needs, they sent back a used typewriter, a used record player, which we did not have. And I used the record player to record Martin's speeches and sermons during the Montgomery movement. And I was just saying to David and Stephen and the others who were at lunch that record player is on display at the King Center with the exhibit on Martin. And if you ever go there and see that exhibit, make sure you look for that record player, because that's the one that Fran had sent us. Fran was always thinking about what we needed and how she could be helpful, as well as how to connect us to other people who could be helpful. Our relationship continued to flourish throughout the movement and over the years. Fran and I had a special relationship through our common love of music. During my latter years at Antioch, I began performing concerts, and I shared my concert programs with Fran, and I continued to perform concerts after graduating from the New England Conservatory of Music in 1954. And she composed a beautiful song for me entitled Mother to Son, which was based on the words of Langston Hughes's poem, Mother to Son, which I performed on many of my concerts through the 50s and 60s, and part of the 60s. She had also written and composed an original piece for me during the Montgomery Movement entitled, My Feet Are Tired. You know, in Montgomery, the old lady was asked if she got tired of walking, and she said, it used to be that my soul was tired while my feet rested. Now my feet's are tired, but my soul is resting. So that was based on, inspired by those words. And I performed that Fran Thomas piece on every concert I did from 1956 forward. And I performed concerts throughout the 60s and into the 70s. It became an important part of my Freedom Concert repertoire. At the time of Martin's assassination on April 4, 1968, Fran came to be with me and was at my side on many occasions Fran was there with me and was on many occasions and was served as an advisor to me in all the things that I was trying to do. She helped in my office. And she was an excellent writer, and she helped me keep up with my correspondence. And there were times when Fran would come to me in the midst of some problem that I was trying to solve, and she would just put her arms around me and says, Coretta, I love you, I love you. And then she would say, you're doing a great job. If I lost Cecil, I don't know what I would do. And finally, a little more than a year later, her worst nightmare did occur. She lost Cecil in a tragic accident in which she was seriously injured. That was in 1969, I believe it was August. Now we were two widows together, me with four young children to raise, and her with older children to get through college and graduate school. She and her two sons spent first Christmas without Cecil in Atlanta with me, just as she and Cecil and her son spent our first Christmas without Martin with me and my children. Over the next several years, assisting me in my office in Atlanta, as she was an excellent writer, as I've said, and would always occasionally, she would come back and catch me up on all of my letters. And this is where she got to know, as I've mentioned, Andy and Bob Green. Bob and Andy and Letty are some of my dearest friends, and Dr. Green was a dean of the College of Urban Development at Michigan State University and a member of the board of directors of the King Center. It was tremendously helpful to me. And of course, he has already told you about the relationship with Fran at Michigan State. But I do want to thank Bob and Letty publicly for all that they did to make it possible for Fran to continue to come back and help me catch up on correspondence, because he paid her way back. And just to spend some time together. When Fran's illness caused her to have to leave Michigan State, I was deeply saddened because I know how much she enjoyed being in the university environment, her friends, her music ensemble, riding her bike, her important research. But then she would be near her two sons and daughters-in-laws and her five grandsons, whom she dearly loved. As you probably know, a hip operation and a stroke incapacitated her. Yolanda and I visited her at Santa Rosa on a number of occasions. And the beauty of her spirit was maintained throughout. And finally, I'd like to say to Fran's children and grandchildren, Stephen, Dave, Craig, Mitchell, Nicholas, Michael, Matthew. You indeed have a rich legacy of love, caring and sharing and serving from your mother and father and grandmother and grandfather. And that's the greatest tribute, and that the greatest tribute that you can pay them is to continue that legacy. And you have that spirit. I've known these young men since they've been adults. And they have embraced the values of their parents, and a great credit to them. Fran and Cecil are proud of you. And their spirits will remain with you to guide you in the difficult moments of your life. Their grandchildren are being brought up in the same tradition. And Aunt Coretta is proud of you. Fran and Cecil influenced hundreds of young people and made a tremendous difference in their lives. You two are following in their footsteps. I love you. I thank you for sharing your mother with me and your father when he was available. And finally, I want to say that Andy Young would have been here today, but he was out of the country, but he did send a beautiful message, which I read on the plane, and somehow when I got here today, I couldn't find it, and I am so sorry. But he had a special relationship with her because of Jean, his wife, who went to Manchester, and he talked about all of that and this so beautifully about the influence of nonviolence and how he didn't ever think he was going to get married because he wouldn't meet a woman who shared his views. And because of Jean's experience here, he felt that, he was able to meet this young woman in Marion, Alabama, when he was sent there as a minister to the Congregational Church. And they had 40 years of a beautiful marriage, and he was Martin Luther King Jr.'s, one of his top lieutenants. So he joins you today in spirit, and I will let him know that I lost his message, but I tried to give you the essence of it, and that I will get another copy to you for your files or your archives or for your memento of this occasion. Thank all of you, and God bless you.